So, Jeff S. from the Lewisburg Literature Study Group of NA, from the Central Susquehanna Valley.
That's right.
Area. Okay. Come on.
Oh.
It's your time.
Oh, man. Hey, thank you. Some of you know me and some of you don't. That's what's cool about this stuff. We can come here, and I don't have to know you personally, but if you say you're an addict, I know what the hell that means. I am one too. I are one. Hey. Alright, so, look at all your smiling faces. I am nervous as hell, and I don't know why. I've spoke to bigger crowds. I just get nervous when my wife is here and people I know me and they hold me accountable and I have to be honest. I just can't bullshit my way. Yeah. So, I'm an addict and my name's Jeff. I guess I'll qualify myself if that's what we used to do when I got here. I got clean in December of 1979. Went to a rehab. Haven't picked up a chemical since. Does not mean I have not been in relapse mode. Doesn't mean shit. Just means I haven't picked up a chemical since 1979. So I'm supposed to talk about, what is that again? Step one. We admit it. I remember sitting in a rehab and it had the steps on the wall and there was no such thing as Narcotics Anonymous in rehabs in those days. Okay. So they had the other steps. Similar, but different. And I'm reading them. Yep, okay. First one, yep, I'm in a rehab. I guess that's unmanageable. Yeah. Came to believe, maybe. God? No. Fourth step? No. Fifth? No. I just think I'll stay here and just do the first two. All right. 32 days, 28 days, whatever it was. I'm out. Mom is off my back. And we'll see what happens. So, I ended up in rehab. I was 24 years old. Did some time in a service. Came back to Pennsylvania with less than what I left with. 6 years after the fact, had to move in with mom again because I was homeless. They talk about things today with the crisis and, the opioid epidemic. I had my first relapse at the age of Let me back up. I had a stroke in February, and this is the first time I've shared since that in this capacity, and I'm afraid that I'm going to not speak correctly because it affected my speech. Those of you who don't know me probably won't even notice. I notice. So if you see me over enunciate and do this, I'm struggling. And I'm really grateful to be able to stand here and speak because it could have been worse. So, getting back to figuring out what the hell step one was, is, should be, can be, whatever, fill in the blank. First overdose at age 14. Second overdose, age 16. Before that, there was, I guess you could go to a blackout scenario. Woke up the next day, don't know what happened at the age of 13. I was well on my way, starting at the age of 12 or so. The disease was very present in my family, very present in my immediate household, very present in my mother being an enabler and sick herself. That's why she married four drunks before she found one that wasn't a drunk. But you know. So getting loaded and doing stupid shit was commonplace. I, you know, seen it a lot. Did it myself. But anyway, present day. Go to rehab, learn about steps. I didn't learn about steps in the rehab. Recovery happened after rehab. 90 meetings in 90 days, 1979, no cell phone, no car, no job. Why? Well, I had a little legal problem, and I didn't want to go back to jail. So I just did whatever I had to do. We had to get clean, mostly in the other fellowship, because there was not a lot of Narcotics Anonymous in my area. We had a couple meetings in Williamsport. Oh, incidentally, September 28th, in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Divine Providence Hospital, they're celebrating 47 years of the same home group at the same address. Oldest NA meeting east of the Mississippi River at the same address. Continuously, holidays and weekends. All right? Little plug for Williamsport. But how cool is that? So, the other fellowship was present, and all of us were drug addicts and alcoholics, or polyaddicted, or cross-addicted, or cross-addicted alcoholics, or, you know, just depending on how cool and unique that you wanted to be when you announced yourself at a meeting. Yeah? So, a lot of us were fucking confused. Like, well, what the fuck am I? Yeah. Well, if I go to this meeting and I want to impress that girl, I'll say this. And if I want to be a hipster at this meeting over here, I'll say that, because that's what they say. Yeah. I noticed nobody chanted here. Thank you. Because that doesn't scream cold at all, does it? Can you imagine being new, walking to a meeting, and everybody goes, sick and getting better, and you're brand new, and you're going to go, what the hell did I just talk into? Because when I came around, I thought you were all nuts anyway. All right? Some guys tell me I've been clean for 22 years. No, you weren't. Nobody's been straight for 22 years. You know, I was only 24, so that's a lie. You know, because I knew everything. You know, so step one means to me today, I'm done. There's no reservations of any kind, not even little tiny, tiny ones, not even if it's legal. Okay? No. I know me. And when I think maybe it might be okay, I'm talking to the last guy I got high with, which was me. That doesn't work out well. I have a proven history of that, even in court documents. You know, my disease took me anywhere it wanted to go. And usually I just, you know, followed along. You know, I went to the service, left the service, got thrown out of the service because I was making way more money selling weed and drugs and stuff like that in the streets of Long Beach than they were paying me to play Navy. Until all that shit went away. The friends, the money, the car, the motorcycle, the women, you know, and then it was like, I'm homeless. Ah, shit, what am I going to do? Well, if the cops catch me, they're going to lock my ass up, and then they're going to turn me over to the Navy, and then they're going to do it all over again. So I just might as well go and turn myself into them. So, I spent better part of 6 to 8 months in a boot camp with bars on the windows and got out. Proceeded to use again. Progression went on great for the last couple of years of my recovery. Ended up in this treatment center up in the middle of nowhere. Does anybody know where Blossburg, Pennsylvania is? A little tiny rehab called Endless Mountains Treatment Center. And there was like 25 people in the whole community. And since then, I've ran into two other people with excess of 30 years recovery that went to the same rehab that I went to. after I want to. I thought that was pretty cool. We're the only three. Maybe we're the only three. But come to meetings, learn steps, right? So I'm just like running back and forth, you know. If I don't feel like getting on it as this meeting, I'd run across the street to NA, play that game over there. Somebody would like, hey, Jeff, you need to get on it. I'd run back to the other one, you know, serving none of them. And the basic text came out. And I remember people that I got clean with, Denny S. in particular, and some other people that I knew, we're going to places like in California, Santa Monica, and they're doing this book workshop stuff. They're writing this book. So, Narcotics Anonymous in my area at the time was, well, we don't need a book. We got a book. We'll just scratch the word alcohol out of this one, this big one, and we'll just write the word drug in there. We're good. Because remember, we were all endos, drug addicts and alcoholics. We didn't know the hell where we were. We didn't know where we wanted to be. There was a few, and that was also the beginning of the East Coast Vigilant Committee. Not the vigilantes, the vigilant one. The purist movement. Yeah. But that's all well and good, but that still tends to create this, you know, dependent on your perspective. All right? So we write this book. Why we write the book? Well, a guy named Bo wanted to know, who the hell are we and why are we here? How come you don't have a book? So they said, start a committee and write a book. The rest is history. The history of the book is amazing. Okay? I was newly recovering and had a young family, and I didn't have the ways and means to gallivant all over the country to book writing workshops and conventions and shit. I had to stay home, earn money, feed babies. You know, serve the home group. And that's what I did. But I remember when the book came out. And I didn't go to that convention either because I couldn't afford to go to that one either. That was in New York, where they served Cherry's Jubilee at the banquet. And people were going, don't eat it! Don't eat it! Right? I remember people coming back from the convention telling the story. Right? The book comes out. So we have, this is my first basic text. First one available at a home group near you. Right? It's the second edition. It's loved and worn, and I got obituaries in from people who die clean. I got obits in here from people who die from the disease. The book changed my recovery in a way that I could say, you see, it says right here. Now, that just brings me to another dilemma. I hated those book thumping guys. Well, it says in the book. Here, I'm standing here. I feel like some freaking preacher. But there's always a but. I let the literature defend me. Yeah, they made some changes. Some good ones. Not so great ones. It is what it is. My group reads the second edition, primarily, because that's what we hand out if you don't bring your book. Why would you come to a literature study group without a book? It's beyond me, so we'll give you one. Or you can bring yours and read out of that one. We don't care. So, the first step talked about powerlessness and unmanageability, and it's two parts. I can understand the powerlessness, you know, overdoses, whatnot. The unmanageability, when I'm clean and when I'm out and I'm not in jail and I'm not caught up running around finding ways and means to get more, you know, the unmanageability got pretty prevalent, right? Being clean, having a so-called normal life, you know, the unmanageability was really sneaky. I thought addiction was just drugs. I remember arguing with a guy when the book came out. He said, Jeff, it's not about the drugs. Yeah, it is. I'll prove it. Well, I got a pink highlighter, and I started highlighting the word drug, drug use, you know, anything, right? Which meant, oh, here's a whole section. Here's a whole pink section right there, right? Meant I had to read the book, and as I'm reading the book, I realized, hey, you know what? He's right. This is a book about recovery from the disease of addiction. It isn't about drug use, primarily. Yeah, that's what got us here. Book says we're men and women who have a problem with drugs. In doing the first step over and over and over again, reading it over and over and over again, I realized I'm done. I'm one of those guys that like is really into music a lot. And whenever anybody says the word surrender, the Cheap Trick song goes off in my head. Mommy's all right, daddy's all right. And I don't know why. It's doing it now. Right? And I relate a lot of things through music. Because when I was out there in my active addiction, they told us in rehab, oh, you can't listen to rock and roll because it's all drug related. What? You can't have long hair. I was in a rehab. I had to cut my hair. I had to shave. I couldn't wear any jewelry. I didn't have any because I hawked it off. Right? And you got to make a change. I did that. And what was really cool, because when I got out and I was walking down my home down by the bar that I used to cop at, two guys come walking out of the bar that I knew, and I hadn't seen them in a while because I was in rehab. And I had really short hair. I was clean shaven. And all I did was, oh, fuck, duck my head because I owed the one guy money. Duck my head down, lit a cigarette, and they walked on each side of me. I just kept on walking. I got to the corner and I turned around and they didn't turn around. They didn't know who I was. I'm like, sweet, I'm incognito. I don't have to pay that son of a bitch back. So that was a severe change for me, and it worked, you know. When I finally realized that I was done, there was no reservations. And it was a process. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen probably in the first year or two. I came here not believing any of you people were telling me the truth. I didn't know anybody from the street right away. Right? I was doing 90 meetings in 90 days, and I'm sitting at the other fellowship meeting that started at the same that time in that channel as the Narcotics Anonymous meeting that used to meet across the street. Okay? That church was under construction, so the NA meeting moved across to the AA meeting's meeting spot, but they were meeting in a room upstairs. Now, before I went to rehab, I was looking for a guy that I used to get high with. He was my brother from another mother, right? Known him since I was 16 years old. Whatever happened to Tom? Oh, he's one of those Jesus freaks. He goes to them meetings. What meetings are those? You know, them AA meetings and those NA meetings. He's too good for us. He won't hang around. He doesn't get high or nothing. I'm like, wow, really? Well, you know, I've known him a long time. And yeah, maybe he needed to do that. Well, if you needed to do it, I fucking needed to do it. Right? So, I'm sitting there. I'm still doing 90 meetings in 90 days. Got my first job. Was working. Didn't have a car. So, after work, I got a ride to the meeting, and I walked into the meeting just as they're starting the opening prayer. Because if I missed the opening prayer, I had to do my 90 meetings in 90 days all over again. My sponsor at the time was serious about that. And when I tell people that today, they go, what? Nah. Whatever. I'm sitting there, and a guy walks in, and he sees me, and he says to me, just like he saw me last week. Oh, hey, Jeff, what's up? Hey, Tom, how you doing? He looks at me, he goes, dude, you're in the wrong room. Come upstairs. There's a guy that's going to speak tonight, and he'll save your life. I'm like, oh, man, he is a Jesus freak. Gay brainwash. Oh, this isn't the guy I knew. What I was hoping was he would come in and say, hey, this is bullshit, let's go. For real. Deep down inside, that was my reservation, because I hadn't surrendered yet. I was still struggling with the first step. Takes me upstairs, this guy shares. He shares like he was hanging out with me most of my life and most of my active addiction. I was like, what? Because that wasn't the story I was hearing in the other room. Not that it was better. Not that it was more spiritual. Not it was my sense of identification was completely where this guy was, and not so much where those people are. And I'm like, whoa. So, from that day to this day, I primarily became a member of Narcotics Anonymous only, and then the book came out. And I got to read about the first step in depth. I got to ask questions of people here before me, okay, about what exactly does it mean about powerlessness. What is exactly, in your experience, what was unmanageability? In your experience, how did you surrender? How do I surrender? All right? And what happened was, the message that I was getting was same. From that meeting to this meeting, from that town, because NA was growing now. Okay. I was clean a few years when this came out, and NA was taking off. All right. Because we had a book. We had a meeting. We had those little white books, and we had some IPs. And, you know, now we have, you know, the library of literature. Right? And people who weren't clean, like when I got clean, they're amazed that we even got clean. Well, how did you work steps and tradition if you didn't have this book, that book, and that, and the spiritual principle book, and this book? I'm like, well, we had a white book, we had some IPs, we talked to each other, we had experience, strength, and hope. Because back in those days, I was told, you might not want to go to those meetings over there, Jeff, because there's no real clean time in those meetings. Well, I'm here to tell you, fuck there ain't. I was at a meeting 2 weeks ago. I walked into this meeting to support another friend who was struggling because he was going to come down to one of the groups I go to on Monday night. I said, tell you what, I'll come up to your meeting. I haven't been up there in a few weeks. So I drove up. I saw 8 other people that got clean in and around the same time I did. And I'm not saying that to tell anybody that us 8 people were special. It was us 8 people have not used for 30 plus years, definitely 25 plus years. And the one new last time I saw a guy who was new was 20 years clean. And it just really, I needed that. I needed to see people who got clean with me. Okay? I needed to hear people that believe what I believe, was taught what I was taught in the beginning. And I'm not saying that they're teaching you anything different. I'm not. The step is still the same. Okay? The difference between before when I got clean, this fellowship put the word we in front of it. And I'm like, we, all right? Tradition 1 says that my personal recovery depends on NA unity. What the hell does that mean? It means, to me, that if the group isn't there and the group isn't open on the time that the schedule says the group to open up, okay, and the literature and stuff isn't there, or whatever the group does, all right, and there isn't recovering people that are actually clean doing it, I don't have a meeting to go to, and I could possibly wander off and possibly die. Okay? The meeting has to be available. I don't care if you got a day. I don't care if you have 39 years. If you walk into that meeting and it isn't set up, set it the fuck up. Alright? I've gone to meetings and everybody's sitting outside. It's like 6:58. Now, I was raised up. You don't go to a meeting late. You walk in late, you give up your right to share. Okay, so I don't go to meetings late on purpose. If I go to a meeting late, it's because I had to work or there was a real reason. And typically, I would just sit there and listen. Okay? I was always taught pray to prayer. Do your 90-90 all over again. You screw that up. That's just me. And several other people that I know. But, so I walk into the meeting and it's like, I care less if there's coffee there or not. That's not why I went to meetings for. But if they had good coffee, I usually went back. All right. If it was ready before the meeting started and I can get a cup and sit down, turn my phone off, and wait for the meeting to start. Or I go in and I start sitting up chairs and like, or walk outside. Who's the chairperson in this meeting? Kid hitting a vape. Me. Hey, this 7 o'clock meeting starts at 7, right? Who the fuck are you? Some kind of N.A. Nazi? No, just a guy looking for a meeting. Meeting card says it starts at 7. Thought I'd show up at that time. Doesn't say 7:15, or I'd been here 15 minutes later with some Dunkin' in my hand. I didn't have time to go to Dunkin' because the meeting list said 7 o'clock! See, you laugh because you've been there, done that. And that's what's cool about what we do. We can talk about something, our act of addiction, that some normal people would go, oh my God. And we're like nodding our heads, yeah, been there, done that, fist bumping, you know. Not that it was funny, because sometimes our pain is not funny, okay? But we can relate to stuff and go, yeah. Or, I can't believe that I was that stupid once upon a time. Glad I'm not that way now. How about it, bro? High five. Right? We taught me how to stay clean. Think about it. Active addiction, I didn't know how to get high. I didn't know how to roll a joint. Didn't know what this was. Didn't know what that was. I went to the guys that did. Hey, how do you get this? And how do you get that? And where do you get that at? And, you know, what does that mean when they say this? So I went to the more experienced drug users. I said experience. Not really good at it. Yeah. Not successful. Just experienced. And I noticed the more experienced ones seem to be the most beaten up. Alright? The most homeless, the most jail time, the most lost relationships, the most divorced, the most, I don't know my children, the most homeless, okay? So, successful, I don't know. I know I'm not, I wasn't really good at it, okay? After a while, it failed me. I couldn't go high anymore, even if I wanted to, you know? But the disease said, ah, no, got one more. It'll be different next time. I know a guy. Oh, did you hear about this new one? Oh, this is no-toke shit, man. You just put it in your pocket and you're loaded. Oh, yeah? Where can I get that? For the longest time, I sat in the meeting waiting for a guy. Because everybody that went out, came back in, that survived, would come in and go, they mentioned at least five things. What happened? Quit going to meetings, quit praying, got ungrateful, didn't have a sponsor, didn't have a home group. You know, they were homeless in NA. They were orphans in NA. They didn't give a shit about NA. Right? And if they survived it, they came back. And they always tell the same story. It was like I never quit. It was worse. Well, this time I had to go back upstate. You know? This time she divorced me. This time the guy I was with died. You know? This time she took the kids and left. This time he threw me out and he won't give me my babies back. Alright? So it was never good. So they always told me the same thing. I was waiting for the guy to come in and say, hey, I found some shit, it's really good, there's no bad effects, and it's free. And I just come in to let you know that you don't need these fucking steps or this recovery shit, come on. He hasn't shown up yet. And now I don't look for him anymore. I've accepted that this is what it is. All right? Every time I get to a point where, you know what? I'm really tired of people coming in and not staying around. People coming in and say they're going to do this and they're going to do that. You know, I want to be the chairperson. Okay, we'll stay for the business meeting. We'll have a group conscience. We'll take a vote. You voted in. You got the job. That happens. They don't show up the next week. Jeff, will you sponsor me? Well, let's talk about it. All right, so we talk about it. We agree that we're going to do this sponsorship thing with a capital S, not a little S. All right? I want you to call me. Never hear from them again. I started to take it personal. It's like, well, I'm not sponsoring me. I'd rather hang out with you at the meeting and talk about recovery after the meeting without being your sponsor, because as soon as we make that commitment, you don't call me anymore. Unrequited love. I don't know, that's not it. It's not me. And if it is me, then I better call my sponsor. Oh, yeah, I have one. Imagine that. He has a sponsor. That dude has a sponsor. And what's really cool is because we have long-time recovery in Narcotics Anonymous, even though we're an anonymous program, I know people sponsors. All right? I'm not really hip with the family thing. That just reminds me of the mob, and I'm not about that. Oh, well, my sponsorship family goes all the way back to who gives a shit? Oh, really? Well, I suppose it would have to go back to somebody. But once they die, dude, they're out. With an affinity coin, hopefully. All right? So, I remember that. Well, my spine is like, goes all the way. It's weak. Okay? I cannot stay clean without you. I did not get clean without you. Okay? I didn't learn how to get high by myself. What makes me think that I can stay clean by myself and do it my way? I'll tell you what, I left this fellowship for about 7 years. I was clean longer than I used, figured I broke even, plus a little on the side for a cushion, right? I quit going to meetings. Oh, well, you know, I have a wife and I have two children and they're busy and there's horses and 4-H and cheerleading and jobs and house and mortgage and, you know, life. Everything the Narcotics Anonymous gave me as a result of staying clean. Imagine that, right? And I walked away. Now, how I got back was the death of another addict. His name was Steve. I'm going to use his last name because, one, we're not in a home group, and two, this is an event, and three, he's dead. His name was Steve Tomasello. He introduced me to my first H&I commitment. He was the first one after about 2 years clean, struggling with my daughters were born, and they were intensive care for 6 weeks, and I went to a meeting every day because I was in pain and I was scared and I haven't done anything like this before and I didn't want to get high. And you let me talk about it. You hugged me. You would say things like, how's the babies? How's your wife? More importantly, how are you? You doing okay? Are you sure? Really? You haven't thought about getting high, Jeff? Really? Hope so. I mean, hope not, but call me. Nobody did that for me in the street. You ain't got any money? Get the fuck out of here. I was really sick of people are going to cop and, you know, some kid 12 years old says, stand in that fucking line and I don't want no fucking change. Alright? And I would say that I don't trust people, but I'd hand somebody, a total stranger, some money and take whatever he gave me and run off and get loaded with it. You have trust issues? No, you don't. But how come I didn't believe you when I first came in? That was my disease talking to me. So I left the meetings for a period of time, and this guy passed away in a car accident, and I went to his viewing, and I saw all these people that I got clean with, right? They got clean before me, my predecessors. People that I got clean with. People that got clean after me. People who went back out and were using and came back to pay their respects and got clean again. All right? And I'm standing there talking to some people and they haven't seen me in a while and they're like, Jeff, so how you doing? Where you been? And, oh, refresh me. Where are you from? Where do you go to meetings? Oh, I go to meetings like in Lock Haven. Oh, well, I've been going to meetings down at Harrisburg Way. As long as it's 50 miles from where you were, that's where I was going, because I wasn't going to tell you I wasn't going to meetings. You know. Ed's still your sponsor? Oh, yeah, I just talked to him not long ago. Now, I told you I had problems with that G-O-D word. On cue, God goes, what's this? Soon as I said, oh, yeah, Ed's still my sponsor, I just talked to him not too long ago, I get tapped on the shoulder, I turn around, Ed, how you doing? Ed says this, hey, Jeff, how you been? I haven't talked to you since I moved to New York. Everything okay? How's the wife? How you doing? So the people I'm talking to, they get this look on your face, like awkward. They're like patting yourself, like, dude, you got a light. I'm going to go get a cigarette. And they walk away from me. And I'm like, ah, busted. At that moment, I said, fuck it. I ain't doing this no more. I looked at the man and I said, I ain't been to a meeting in 7 years. I have been to a couple. I went on a regular basis. My wife works at a local rehab and they used to have an alumni camp out once a year. And we had meetings at that camp out. So once a year, I was at the alumni camp out. That was my regular, right? Also that happened that night was my friend Billy was supposed to be here, was a good friend of Steve's, and he wasn't there. And I found out later that he was in the hospital. He fell out of a secondary disease from his primary act of addiction 16 years before. All right? This is what we do for each other. I talked to these people. I went to the first guy I ever sponsored, and I said, who was doing the same thing. I said, I don't know about you, dude, but I'm going back to a meeting starting tomorrow. And I did. And from that day to this day, I have not left Narcotics Anonymous. That's been 20-some-odd years, right? Here's how God works. And yes, I use the word God because it was a group of drug addicts that got me clean. It was your faith and your power, and your belief in a power greater than yourself that was stronger than my addiction. Basic text says loving, caring, and greater than me. Also says greater than our addiction. Okay? And I was telling Mark, you here? Yeah. Mark, I was telling Mark that there was a point that before I actually walked away from Narcotics Anonymous, I was done. I was fed up. I was scared. And I went to a group and I said, you know what? I'm done. You guys are bullshit. I'm out. So I start to leave. And the guy between me and the door stood up. And I'm like, oh, no. You're not. No, we're not going to play this. I'm thinking straight because I'm full of the disease. I'm thinking straight. This guy's going to stop me. I'm going to swing out and knock his fuck out. I'm out. He goes, no. Give me a hug. He gives me a hug. He goes, look, I don't want you to go, but if you think you have to, I love you. The next guy stands up and does the same thing. Another guy stands up and does the same thing. Nobody does that. Not to me. See, because I believe that I'm still a piece of shit scumbag. I don't deserve what you have. I hate myself so much, I beat myself still with a stick and not a feather. All right? I didn't care, believe you even cared. I know you talk that shit, but man, I just... Right? And they said, you know, we don't want you to go, but if you do, and you die, we'll look after the wife and daughters. I was finished. I've surrendered more than once. All right? And I sat down, and I stayed at the meeting, and, you know, I didn't go get loaded. All right, so I'm at the viewing, and I come back to meetings. I get plugged in. Steve was the guy that asked me, when I sit in meetings and I would complain about, is this all there is to recovery, is church basements that smell like Lysol and mildew? You know what I'm talking about? And in those days, we were allowed to smoke. And I'm proud to say that I was an ashtray washer and a mug washer during my 90 meetings in 90 days. But he said to me, well, what step are you on, and what do you do for somebody else's recovery today? What step are you on, and what did you do with somebody else's recovery today? Well, he says, no, really. I didn't have a straight answer, and I wasn't in the mood to make something up. See, the addict in me would make something up just to get you off my back. Sometimes I lied when the truth fit better. When I first came around, I didn't know what the fucking truth was. I didn't know who the fuck I was. That's NA unity. The message is the same. Alright? I don't care what drugs you use, who your connections were. Alright? If you have religion, you don't have religion, your sexual preference. If you're a man, a woman, or whatever, that's why I'm not a really big fan of special interest groups. Because our book says any addict, and I'm speaking for myself. If you don't agree, that's fine. Right? I remember when they wanted to start a gay meeting in Williamsport. And I asked the guys, like, so you guys recover differently than people who aren't gay? No, we got different issues. Oh. Okay, what kind of issues? Like not feeling loved, not feeling accepted, not feeling wanted, been in pain, used and abused by other people one way, shape, or form or another, sold our ass to get loaded. Those kind of issues? Well, yeah, no, and you know, we're just different. Book says you're not. The 12th tradition of anonymity says you're not. Okay? The first tradition says you're not. The book says any addict. In the introduction, in the very beginning of the book, in the introduction, it talks about we identify as addicts. Alright? That takes all that shit out. Alright? We don't have to have, you know, any, but that's just me, and I don't participate. And you know what's cool? Book also says, I am free to do so. Or not do so. Okay? I can come to Narcotics Anonymous, I can leave. Right? when I say that I'm a member, you know, you're a member when you say you are. Yeah, that gets me in the door of any Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Even the one that says men's, women's, or others. Oh, well, we won't ask you to leave. All right. But what if I'm really... It doesn't make any sense to me, but that's just me. I like the fact that it was any addict. I like the fact that you accept me on the face value of just being me. I don't have to come in and prove myself to you. I did use the word qualify when I started. Okay. I suppose I have met some people in the rooms that are not addicts. God knows that the drug court sometimes sends them. And if I hurt anybody's feelings, okay, sorry. I have a term for the drug court people, and see, there we go. I'm separating addicts, right? The people that come with us, what's the new thing? Justice involved. They come in with their books and all that stuff, and I call them the bracelet bandits. I love them. My home group is, I might be one of two or three people that doesn't wear one of those little black boxes. I thought about getting one tattooed on my ankle so I could fit in. And I still may, because my daughter's a tattoo artist and she'll totally do it for free. I still might. Just get one tattooed. So, yeah, got it. Hey, bro. Yeah. So I feel accepted. But I don't even know how long I talk. I can talk forever. I don't know if I made any sense, but here, let me surmise. Step one, we surrender. Okay? So, we surrender, and we go, and we accept that. Now what happens? I don't necessarily buy the reading of the truth that comes over slowly over a period of time. No. My home group, we read step one, tradition one, and if you got 30 days and happen to be there in 2 week consecutive weeks, you're learning about tradition as soon as you walk in the door. Alright? You want to serve? Oh yeah, you're already serving. You walked into a meeting room. You sat down and you participated. The highest form of service to Narcotics Anonymous is the group. Okay? Don't get that shit fucked up. Don't let anybody tell you differently. We don't need sanctions. We don't need permission. We're a Narcotics Anonymous group. There's 6 guidelines in the group booklet, and if we adhere to these, we're solid. Okay? So, the tradition keeps us on the same track. The traditions, everybody says, well, the traditions are for the group. No, no. I can attach the tradition to my personal recovery too. Right along with the first step. You know, I have to go to a meeting. I have to say what I do and do what I say. I just can't show up and talk shit. Enough people do that. I did it when I first got here. How can I be doing it after I've been here so many years? Right? So, I try to do what I say I do. And if I can, I tell you no. I don't have all the answers. Oh, go ask Jeff. He's been clean for a really long time. He'll know. Somebody say, well, Jeff, what about... I don't know. But let's see if we can find out. Hey, it might be in this book. That's where I learned a lot of shit. Okay? Because it was the collective experience of we. Okay? I read today someplace on a thing on face page that a woman said that her sponsor told her that the basic tech was written by angry older sicker older white guys. Maybe she even let the word white out. Older men. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Men and women wrote this book. The average clean time was 5 to 7 years. The average race was 27 years old. The average education was 8th grade. That's this book. The new editions have been spruced up and cleaned up and professionally edited and read really well for treatment purposes. because they give these away in treatment centers. So, yeah. I liked when Charles S. from Philadelphia moved up here and told me the story of his active addiction that Tom told me that he would tell me when I ran into Tom when I was doing those 90 meetings in 90 days. And his story actually changed my life. It kept me coming back. Every time that I want to get out, I shared this with my daughter this week, and I'll shut up, I promise. She's struggling with, she cares for a lot of people and a lot of things, and she has a lot of friends that are sick and dying, and it hurts. And it's breaking her heart. And she goes, I wish I didn't have to, or I'm not gonna. And I said, no, baby, we have to. We have to care, and we have to be able to help. I said, I don't know how many times over the years that I've lost friends that I know, people that I love and care about. Some of their obituaries are in this book. Young people, old people, addicts. We'll just leave it at that, because that's what we is. Right? Every time that I think that I need to not do this, that I just take what I have and keep to myself. Alright? That's the disease saying, yeah, go ahead and do that. Fuck them. Alright? They don't know how to speak clean anyway. They don't do it like you were told, old school. They're not old school. I get caught up in that bullshit. Old school recovery. You know what? When this book came out, it was new. This book hasn't changed a whole lot. This, you know, I remember the Purist movement. I even got a shirt that, you know, I like to wear because it's nostalgic. This book hasn't changed a whole lot from the day it's written to the book that they hand out now. Especially the introduction. Especially who is an addict. Especially why are we here. Okay, the first 10 pages, they changed some traditions that I didn't think was a good thing to do. But, for the most part, what can I do? That shit hasn't changed. Alright? So, if this was pure, I don't know. NA saved my life. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me at this moment. I mean, tomorrow morning I might tell you something different. But I can tell you this. It's the last thing I tried and the only thing that's worked. Now, I don't have an original thought on recovery. Everything I said to you tonight, I learned from somebody else. Well, I read about it. I'm not this profound speaker. I'm not some fucking spiritual guru. You know, I'm just a guy trying to get by one day to the next. Notice I didn't say at a time. Just for today. I'm staying clean. I know you love me. I know you care about me. Even when I piss you off. Even when you piss me off. All right? But I know that I can walk into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting anywhere and sit down and say, I'm an addict, my name's Jeff. You'll all say, hi, Jeff. And I'm where I'm supposed to be. Now, if you give me a message other than what is in this book, I might say something. I might leave. We used to call each other out in the meetings back in old school days. Okay. You can't say that. Might have a conversation with you in the parking lot. Say, hey, you know, that information that you were sharing at the meeting, not exactly correct. Don't know who your sponsor is or what book you read, but that's not NA. Then I'd get called a Nazi. Which I take high offense to, because Nazis aren't nice people. I'm trying to save your life. Alright? I'm a nice guy. Believe it or not. Thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.